guys, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today we be stirring the solstice cauldron with longtime ally Starhawk at this waxing full moon. It will be full on Saturday the 18th at 8:36 p.m. West Coast time, as Venus and Chiron be stationing, time to gather all of our woof for this dangerous, beautiful time. Starhawk, as soon as we get her back on the phone, we will be launching our nuance and tolerance party, our unfurling Saturnalia, where we dedicate to being agents of cool. So it is a powerful time of honoring the dead. So many unique, culturally contributing humans have been spiraling to the exit so recently as this perilous year spirals to a close, where it's good to remember those qualities of humans that inspire us, make us proud, rather than ashamed. Joanne Shenandoah, fantastic Native American, powerful singer, went backstage. Robert Bly, great mentor. Maladoma Somme, great mentor. Manitoba Elder Dave Korshin, and a host of worthy beings, Stephen Sondheim, Bunny Whaler, Mort Saul, and Bell Hooks, whose talk KPFA is offering. We'll come back to that. And Robert Ferris Thompson, whose book Flash of the Spirit has been a longtime companion, and particularly just a little bit of what he has to say, so pertinent. As Ferris Thomas said in his story in Rolling Stone, those people stand like giants in teaching us how to live. There's a moral voice embedded in the Afro-Atlantic aesthetic that the West can't grasp. Where we go, not yet. They don't see the monuments, just barefoot philosophy coming from village elders. But the monument is a grand reconciling art form that tries to morally reconstruct a person without humiliating them. He continued, "These are the canons of the cool. There is no crisis that cannot be weighed and solved. Nothing can be achieved through hysteria or cowardice. You must wear and show off your ability to achieve social recognition, social reconciliation. Step back from the nightmare. It's a call for parlance, for Congress, and for self-confidence." So positively Saturn for our Saturnalia. So we welcome Starhawk.
Hi, Carolyn.
Yay, and your car's not being towed or anything.
No, hopefully it's being repaired at the moment.
Right, that's great. So
we seem to have this weird truck karma every time we're talking together. Yeah.
I know. Well, it's all everything real, everything symbolic. We go, your truck got towed out of the ditch, and I think it's part of our Saturnalia, which is just to add, macro dedication to any of our personal circumstances. You know, as your truck is towed out, so may the truck of democracy be towed out of the ditch.
Right?
So,
you know, all right.
I had for a deeper look at the solstice time, I had a colonoscopy yesterday going, deeper look. And as we clean out the colon, so may the colon of democracy, you know, and doctors are up for this going, yes, all right, let's clean out
That's
the colon
great.
Of democracy. There we go. So we just add to that. So I liked when we were speaking, I said, we want nuance and tolerance. And you said, yes, let's start a nuance and tolerance party. So I think that's
right.
A great way to begin. Do you want to say more about nuance and tolerance?
Let me say something about nuance, because maybe this goes with getting old, but you start to realize that all the things you were so deeply devoted to and absolutely certain of actually kind of are a little bit fuzzier than maybe you thought they were. And the things that you swore you absolutely would never do, you know, sometimes you end up doing them. And the things that you absolutely believed would never happen to you, well, they kind of do happen to you. And that life is just not really, you know, cut and dried. It doesn't fall into neat things of all good and all evil. Everybody has different impulses within them. And I think that's especially important for political movements, because there is a tendency in political movements you know, I think movements tend to be, activist movements tend to be formed by judgy people. Right. We're judgy because we've judged that the system isn't working well for us or for others. We have strong opinions on it. And that's good. That's part of what motivates us. But we often tend to turn it into judgment of people and forget that part of the movement's job is to educate, is to meet people where they are, not just yell at them for not being where you think they already should be. Like, it's our job to figure out how to get them there. And that is not easy work to do. It's often extremely frustrating. But everything about political change is inherently frustrating. If it was easy, right, it would already have happened. Right. And I think, you know, it's part of learning to tolerate that frustration and learning to be comfortable with things that are not always easy to say. You know, they're not always in like ones and zeros. Sometimes they're in fractions, and people may do bad things and still need a way back, or right, believe things that really are untrue, or just not have been exposed to ideas that you think are important. And again, it's our job as activists to help persuade, not just to judge.
Right. Well, yeah, no, judgment maybe into the cauldron. We get to stir our cauldron and discernment and diagnosis out, right? Because we want to be liberating, to leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. Not counting on it, but just leaving room. And I brought this up when we were speaking backstage because I go, you know, Hillary Clinton, we might have all many opinions going, terrible, and the thing in the Honduras. However, she was on Rachel Maddow touting her book that she wrote with Louise Penny. And it was, and she was her best self about the danger of democracy and the necessity for voting rights and all of that. And the book is, the first five pages, I was like, oh no. But then it's a rip-roaring, highly crafted, quite relevant thriller. And we go, okay, Hillary. So we have nuance, right? So in accord with yourself, let's throw approval, disapproval into the cauldron. It's a huge distraction. I mean, the divine, the spirits don't care if we approve or disapprove. Or are we willing to, you know, woof-woof cooperate in some way? So, and then I just wanted to bring up nuance because we were saying, let our metaphors be nature-based, and as our language really is, if we dive deeply, and I love from the Cloud Appreciation Society, a cloud origin story, when looking up the etymology of the word nuance, sometime during the 14th to 16th centuries, Middle French adopted the Latin word nubes, meaning cloud, into the word new. This nuance meaning a shade of color, and by the late 18th century, the English adopted the French word nuance to mean more generally a subtle distinction or variation. With their delicate shifts of shape and hue, it's no wonder that cloud should turn out to be the origin of nuance. So I love that we embrace nuance, because it's, you know, there's 20, 30 stories going on all at once. So I know that you you have your winter solstice event coming up. Let's feel free to tout that.
Sure. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific time, I'm going to do an online winter solstice, and it will be recorded. So I know 1 p.m. is a little odd for us for a solstice ritual, but it works really well for other people around the world. And since it's recorded, you can get the recording if you sign up for it and play it anytime you want. And for me, when I was thinking a lot about the solstice, thinking about this quality of going into the dark, you know, being the unknown, being the pregnant possibility of what might come before it's formed. being the place where we're uncertain, where we admit that we don't know. And it struck me as really speaking to this moment. I don't know about you, but at least I feel like we're in a moment. You know, I've been a political activist my entire life, which is going on, you know, since I was 14 or 15, you know, which is more than 50 years now. And this is a moment where I really don't know what to do. You know, the things that we've done in the past, the kinds of actions we've taken aren't working in the same way they have worked before. And maybe we need to kind of sit with that for a moment and kind of say, something here, we desperately need something to happen. Because we are, as a nation, spiraling into a really bad place. But maybe we need to pause for a moment before we jump into doing what we've always done before and kind of ask, well, what really might be effective here? How do we counter, right, like, these tidal waves of lies and disinformation and complete this connection from reality.
The year of gaslighting from the fantastic movie Gaslight with Ingrid Bergman and evil Charles Boyer. It's about how you make somebody crazy. Deny their perception of the truth. So there is a evil Charles Boyer is trying to drive Ingrid Bergman crazy. But there is a redemption. There is a redemption to the thing. But yes. And then we were speaking. I said I was at a gathering of activists at Commonweal that was pretty great. And there was a late night conversation that was just the kind that I'd been so yearning for, with really just a few great people late into the night. And one wonderful young woman activist said, you know, so many of the people she works with at Standing Rock and everywhere, she said they're burnt out. They're the ones that are always arrested. They're the ones that whatever, and they're burnt out. And I had the impulse to go, maybe a different metaphor. And then I go, no, let's embrace that metaphor. Burnt out. Mm-hmm. In Hawaiian, you say pow, completely burnt to cinders. And we go, right. And what we were saying, you know, so ladle out of the cauldron, the unknown new ancient strategies, right, of everything that you've been practicing and that we hold dear as well, going a humble cooperating with the ancestors and the the dead and the whatever. So does that resonates with yourself, right, as we launch the Nuance and Tolerance Party?
You know, we up here out in the woods where I spend a lot of my time, the community has been getting together right now that the rains have come, every week to do work to make our area safer for fire, thinning the trees along the roadsides, limbing them up, pruning them, doing pile burns and control burns. And we did a big burn on the corner of my driveway on Saturday. And then we had like this huge rainstorm. We probably had 6 or 8 inches of rain over the next 2 days. And days later, I looked and that pile was still smoldering. Was amazing to me. So I think that sometimes when we think something is burned out, there may still be the spark there that we can fan back into flame. And sometimes if we burn things in just the right way, we can burn that down to biochar and conserve some of the carbon and grind it up, put it in the soil in order to make fertility. So I'm not sure how this translates into specific political strategy, but
we're working on it. We're all doing backstrokes in the cauldron, going, all right, we don't. It's an excellent, biochar, burnt out into biochar. Yeah. No, that's a bumper sticker. So there's your solstice. Let me honor this wonderful radio station briefly to remind us that we are in Fun Drive. Excuse me. And we will be offering my winter solstice event, which will be Tuesday, December 21st at 5 p.m. West Coast time, also recorded. And that is, let's see, where am I here? That's the solstice invoking, honoring, and conjuring Celtic Santeria Bodhisattva Coyote. It is me giving voice to Bodhisattva Coyote. It is wonderful ally Sean Patrick O'Donohue for Celtic Cool and Amakela Gaston for Santeria invoking Woof. And as Robert Bly, now ancestor, hi there, said, you know, doing Rumi, as she said, just to find someone bearing one sign of the other world in this town would be helpful. Well, there's a lot of us. So you can, for any pledge, $25 or over, you can have access to this fantastic Zoom thing on Tuesday, December 21st, you know, by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org. And also, we are offering many fun things. KPFA is offering, we're offering The World Belongs to Storytellers Part 2, Visionary Activist Archives. It's Tim Reiterman, Raven, a fantastic, you know, relevant, the untold story of the Reverend Jim Jones and his people, and why one must never use the metaphor, drink the Kool-Aid. That is very important, right? We're also offering Lily Yeh, a fantastic Beauty Out of Darkness, two Lily Yeh's, Dedicated Acts of Beauty, Trump Tyranny and Restore Intimacy, Rabbi Alameddine, The World Belongs to Storytellers, Yehuda Atayan, Rod Suskin doing a fantastic show from Israel and South Africa, you know, on the One State Solution. Diane Wilson, fabulous, farewell to Molly Ivins. Rose George on the big necessity of what do we do with our human waste? Oh, really good. So all of those can be yours as a download for a pledge of $75 or more if you want. There we go. And then KPFA is also offering its storytelling. I have it in some important file here. Oh, yes, here it is. Storytelling for Social Change, which is any donation, we lucky people. Bell Hooks, powerful feminist thinker. She just died. Her lecture on love from Los Angeles in 1999 to honor her as she just passed away on December 15th. Also, Nikki Giovanni, poet and activist, reading Make Me Rain. And Chris Hedges and Mitch Jezerich on the history of democracy, our teammate, our really esteemed KPFA teammate. He is so great. And Maxine Dunbar Ortiz on her book, Not a Nation of Immigrants. For any donation by calling 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. online. There we go. All right. So, yeah. So burnt out Poe, you know, ladling things out. And it is, you know, it's like some people are loose metal filings looking for a magnetizing story, you know, and see, we love, I mean, I'll pitch this to you as a question. Do we not love? We love creative, wary suspicion. We do. Mm-hmm. We just want it to be liberated from prison masquerading as freedom. Yeah. So we love creative, wary suspicion, and we love irony, and its liberating expressions, you know. And so that's right. We want to, you know, whatever got people into cuckoo-ness, you know, it's like track it back to, yes, good, be wary. There are indeed conspiracies. There are, but nuance and discernment and tolerance come into play here. Because I know in our you know, Facebook things that, you know, you're always a voice for calm and tolerance. And sometimes people really come at you in a vituperative way going, how could you call yourself a witch and get a vaccination? And it's like, easy, yeah. Calm down, yeah, everybody. Right. So you've managed to stay calm while people are kind of vituperatively flailing around, right?
Well, you know, that's part of the practice of witchcraft, is learning to ground and stay grounded and stay anchored in your core self, even when people are projecting stuff all over you.
Right.
It's part of what we have to do to stay sane in these times. And I often think the one thing that unites the right and the left in this country is the profound belief that some secret cabal of mysterious, powerful people are secretly controlling everything. We just don't agree on who they are. But I actually don't think that's a very empowering worldview. You know? And
yes.
I don't actually believe it's true. As a fiction writer, I love conspiracies and plots and all of this stuff. But when you're writing fiction, somebody comes in and says, okay, but this has to be at least somewhat plausible. If a conspiracy that involves masses and masses of people all keeping it secret, just not very plausible. You have to actually think out how this is going to work. If you believe some furniture company is secretly shipping children around, like in the guise of cabinets, like who's packing them, right? The powers that be are not going to be the ones that are loading those containers. So how is this actually going to work out? And if you can't make it actually work out without masses and masses of people having to believe in it, keep it secret, whatever, probably it's not actually happening. No matter how appealing it might be to believe in it and get all outraged around it. I think it's very easy to get addicted to this feeling of righteous outrage. But often
yes.
It's a substitute for actually doing something that might be effective and might actually help a situation. That's often much less dramatic and heroic than those things that ramp us up in that way.
Right. Well, let's throw righteousness and outrage into the cauldron because it just serves empire, right? So it is, lack of humor is an early warning sign of the reality police being present. And we go, there we go, playful. I want to bring in Ancestor Vine Deloria, great buddy, one of the great Native American leaders, wonderful human. And last time I saw him with wonderful ancestor Bob Goff, and Bob said, all the great Native American leaders are here, and the only reason fistfights aren't breaking out is because Vine's here, and they're all behaving well. But Vine said, I meet many, many young activists these days who are very, very serious about themselves. And he said, we were serious about the issues, but always playful among our team. And I just want to ladle this out for us all, going, right. And then, there is, we want nuance with conspiracies because, any cult, there's, in order for it to work, there's got to be some little kernel of truth, fake news. Well, there's a lot to be annoyed about the news, right? But not how it's being hijacked over there, but, tracking patterns, Freud said that paranoia was actually the beginning of enlightenment because you're seeing patterns. It can spin way out, right? But it's like, okay, so there we go. But yeah, absolutely what you say, a kind of sane, reverent common sense, and what's useful. And then this time, of course, is, there's 20, 30 stories all going on at once, and they can be conflicting, and they can even be all partly true. Which ones are we going to animate? And to toss back to you, absolutely, it behooves us, all of us, with animals, and we want to, and creatures, we want to talk about citizenship, to animate and magnetize the irresistible, all-inclusive story. This is where we're going. This is, here, come on over here. We need everybody, right? Does that resonate with yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons things seem to be spinning so far out right now is that people have a really profound need to belong to something. And our overarching culture isn't really offering something that people feel like they all belong to. And I think it's part of our job as activists, as people who want to change the world, to come up with a story and a movement that welcomes people, that gives them something meaningful to belong to, that gives them a way to feel like they are making a meaningful contribution to the world, that they have some sense of impact and agency, and that feels good. I tell this often to younger activists, and at the beginning of Trump's, time in office, I wrote something about building a welcoming movement and said, hey, you know, being part of a social movement is supposed to feel good. And I got a lot of like blowback to that. People like, no, it's not. Like, we're supposed to confront our privilege. And we're, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, but you're supposed to feel, it is supposed to be playful. You know, it's hard sometimes. You might get beat up. You might get arrested. You might face really discouraging things. But what feels good is the feeling that you got people on your team and you're part of a team. That's the social justice team, you know, that you are working together and you got people supporting you in your great dream of being an agent of justice and regeneration in the world. And when we build a movement like that, I think that becomes a great counter to the cynicism and the despair and the complete like lack of trust that are kind of eating us alive right now. And that means, again, we have to give up a little of that judginess. If somebody uses the wrong word or the wrong language, you know, we might stop correcting each other's language. You know, what if we had a moratorium for like even a month on stopping constantly telling people they're saying something the wrong way and focusing instead on what are the underlying rights we're trying to work for people? And can we get to them? Yeah.
Right.
Can we get to them together, even if we disagree on terminology?
Right. That's great. Yeah. And I take it to heart because I'm often correcting my own and other people's language. But I don't want to correct it. I don't want to correct it. It's just that, may our manner of relating be an offering rather than an imposition. Going, well, what does it feel like? What does it feel like if we change this word? I often like to... yes, all kinds of social action things. I run it by the dogs. And I go, dogs, do you want to go to this event? You know, they go, is there food? Is it fun? I go, no. And they're like, no, never mind. But we want to go back to, you know, I think what we're stirring in the cauldron and ladling out together, all of us, and KPFA and Visionary Activist Show is, you know, what are the qualities of being a good citizen, meaning, you know, community participant? And do you have some thoughts on what it is to be a good citizen?
Well, I think to be a good citizen is really always a balance between your individual freedom and your responsibility to the collective whole. And it's not always, again, it's not always simple and clear and cut and dried. The vaccines are a great example. You know, I hear people saying like, well, it's my body. I should determine what goes into it. And yes, we all agree with that. But there's also another level on which it's not just about your body. It's about your potential impact on the whole and what we owe to each other and how we protect each other. And I think we get in trouble when we define this as good versus evil and people are, you know, on either side are right versus wrong, when actually it's about values we all hold. You know, I think we all believe that we should have the right to determine what happens to our body. And I think we all believe on some level we have a responsibility to the collective and to the whole. It's about how we're weighting them and where our priorities fall. I think sometimes if we can reframe that, then maybe we can have a little more patience and tolerance for each other, and maybe we can find some ways to come to a balance that makes sense.
Yes. No, absolutely. And again, nuance, going, yes, of course, mm-hmm. the pharmaceuticals are criminals and Pfizer's yeah. been held yeah. criminally accountable. That's a true story. And then here's this also story. Things can be a nuance mix. And again, what do we choose to ladle out as a way of participating? And, you know, I like going, all right, old trickster that animates the universe, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. wherever, open the path. Oh, there we go. That'll work great. You know, part of that dynamic. And I do always love whenever I host you, and again, we're we're pledging to the Visionary Activist Show and KPFA because we have hosted Starhawk many times. And it is voices of sane reverence, you know, that she really embodies and guides that we want to keep going. So I always love to read the Sabian symbol for your fantastic Venus, which is in the thick of things. We have the Saturn-Uranus square right now, and it's dancing with your Venus. And your Venus's image is children swinging beneath the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strengths of ancient traditions, the roots of all spiritual traditions in nature mysticism, the door of memory spiraling back through time, the embodiment of the divine in nature. Isn't that so you?
Oh, wow. Thanks. That's beautiful. I love that.
It is. That is your Venus, and Saturn in the sky right now is exactly opposite it. Your mm-hmm. deep dedication. May we all hum with the deep dedication that Starhawk has embodied for 60 years. If you started when you were 9, or there we go. And Saturn's image for all of us, but especially Starhawk, is contemplating an inspiration which could change our lives. That's available now. We go, all right, the void before creative mm-hmm. things come in. Very solstice. Sun stands still, you know, and how in this mm-hmm. kind of wild, crazy time do we gather our wits to come into stillness? So the last Saturn-Uranus square will happen on December 24th, which is very witty for family gatherings because it's an insistence on equality. but it is, you know, part of our theme this whole year, Saturn in Aquarius, how shall we gather? Square Uranus and Taurus in accord with nature's guiding genius, right? And anything not, it's like Sir Herbert Reed said, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. And I think that's something we're ladling out. But let me exhort people a little bit more too, which is here we are at KPFA. We are offering many thank you gifts. KPFA is generously, all donors at any level get the Storytelling for Social Change, videos of bell hooks. She just went backstage. Powerful mm-hmm. feminist thinker and writer. It's her lecture on love from Los Angeles. And Nikki Giovanni, poet and activist, reading Make Me Rain, and Chris Hedges. I hosted him several times, you know, in the way back of Visionary Activist Show. Mitch Jesuit's wonderful colleague. So that's for any donation. Any donation gets you that, you lucky people. That's by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org. And then we're also offering tickets to the Winter Solstice event, Zoom or phone, mm-hmm. on Tuesday, December 21st at 5 p.m. West Coast time. That's for a pledge of $25 or more. There we go. Mm-hmm. By calling 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. It's the place where we get Starhawk and so many great voices. And, you know, again, what we're offering in our storytelling collection, Tim Reiterman on Jonestown, very pertinent about outsourced Saturn and how it goes crazy. Lily Yeh, Beauty Out of Darkness, yay, two of those. And The World Belongs to Storytellers, Rabbi Elamedin, and Yehudi Atai and Rod Suskin from Israel and South Africa, comparing notes on how the one-state solution could actually happen. Diane Wilson, Farewell to Molly Ivins, and Rose George on The Big Necessity, a great show on what do we do with human waste. All of those can be yours for a pledge of $75, 1-800-439-5732, kpfa.org. org. So it's pretty quiet. It's pretty quiet there, but we'll get more dedicated. Mm-hmm. But I also want to equally, you know, do remind people, I know, Starhawk, that you have your event tomorrow, and then also you have some classes, because we're a community village gathering, and we want to reciprocal blessings. So what do you have coming up that you'd like people to know about?
Well, I have a winter solstice ritual tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can find out information at starhawk.org. It's with a wonderful musician and singer, Evely Sales Posh, and Renee Collins, who's director of The Rebels. And we're going to explore what it means to really go into the dark and hopefully receive that spark of the returning light. I'm also going to have some upcoming courses online this spring, one in ritual skills, and later in the year, a magical activism series again. All of these are by donation, so you can donate however much you want, and all of it is really appreciated. Speaking of donations, I want to say I also work with an organization called Earth Activist Training. We teach permaculture design and regenerative land management. We've got an upcoming in-person course in January, and you can find out information on that at earthactivisttraining.org. We also will have more online courses coming up this spring in lots of different subjects, from permaculture to regenerative business design to designing for disaster. So if you get on our mailing list, you'll get information on all of those. And we've been working to fundraise for some Afghan permaculturalists who have been working for many years there to try to bring regenerative systems and human rights into their country, and have unfortunately gotten caught up in this latest transition. So if you go to earthactivisttraining.org, you'll find information on how to donate. We're trying to raise the money to help bring them into places where they are safe, and learned a lot about just how frustrating it is to work with governments and work with borders and trying to get people out of danger and into places that might offer some refuge.
No, that's so powerful, pertinent. That is why we gather on radio, on stage, backstage, every which way. And part of the value of what we're up to here is so that you can support Starhawk's dedication, her support. spiraling, that's right. You know, the spiral is so central to all of us and so central to Starhawk's work, too. Spiraling out of polarity, that would be so great. And then just before I reluctantly release you and do more dedicated pitching, but you can also exhort people too. But just some things to put on our work table, you know, the danger and the beauty, the voting rights, the Voting Rights Act would be really good. We want to put that there. And then let me toss this to you. Supreme Court, I think the number 13 is a great number for justices. How about that?
I love that. And the whole issue, again, around voting rights, around the whole Build Back Better, you know, which includes in it a lot of really vitally important funding and work on climate change. You know, if people do nothing else, like maybe try to visualize a powerful momentum for justice, and for the success of things that actually care for people and care for the earth. Because it's really easy to get discouraged and to get completely frustrated at all the bottlenecks and to feel like the Democrats aren't doing what we wanted them to do, and to forget that actually they've done a lot of really great things so far, and can do more if we empower, you know, the progressive Democrats now, like, you know, the Bernie Sanders, the AOC, the Pramila Jayapal, they're carrying like a wave of that progressive movement that so many of us have been part of. And, you know, for so many years, I've been part of the protest part and the direct action part. But there is that question we never quite came to terms with, which is, what will we do if we succeed? You know, how do we actually turn this into real power to make change? And I think that there are people who are doing that right now within the Democratic Party, as flawed a vehicle as that might be. And at the same time, we see the Republican Party really diving down into trying to destroy any semblance of democracy. So again, supporting things like, you know, maybe what we need to do is we all pick someone in a state, running for state assembly in one of those key battleground states, and donate $10 a month to them, you know, for the next year, so they've got the money they need to actually make sure those things don't fall into Republican control. You know, maybe we need to build up the momentum to change the rules and pass voting rights. Maybe we need to figure out, you know, how we can actually push Sinema and Manchin into doing the right thing, because they seem to be such stumbling blocks.
Right. Well, the spiral
is ironic because, yeah.
No,
you know,
say,
Sinema
say,
was actually marching with the pagan cluster in Miami in 2004 against the Free Trade Area of the Americas. And I don't know quite what happened to her. It seems like there ought to be some way to, like, bring her back to those ideals.
Right. Well, that's part of the beautiful power of radio and the beautiful power of backstage going, you know, in Doris Lessing's Shikasta, when humans were at a moment of either ethics or expediency, the spirits were gathered around, you know, like at the solstice going, no, remember what you came to do. Remember what you came to do. Remember your dedication to collective well-being. Remember that. And I think we joined that chorus for ourselves and for everyone going, remember, you know, come on through. And to see it, not count on it, go whaley disappointment, but to see it, right, as part of the dynamic. So to see 13 people on the Supreme Court, to see, so much what you say, that your work with refugees and also in Afghanistan, permaculture, and the unbelievable tragedy of the tornadoes in Kentucky, and one of the hardest hit communities was a community of refugees. These people who had survived everything, and now they had 3-bedroom houses and a wonderful community from Africa and Afghanistan, and it was completely blown apart by the tornado. And we go, oh, solace, you know, kinship, you know, and what can we do? We wonder, and people, you know, doing work for people with, you know, who have suffered, you know, unbelievable grief, and to extend our sense of kinship. And to be like Jose Andres, it's like, man, he was there in Kentucky before the wind stopped, you know, it's amazing. And we go, yes, to honor real citizens, and to aspire to be like that, to aspire to be, you know, as dedicated as you are, Starhawk. Feel free to exhort your any appreciation. Have you listened to KPFA much? There we go.
Absolutely. Opening the KPFA has been such a lifeline always. You know, through all the years that I've been an activist, KPFA has always been there. It's been the place to get the news. It's been the place to have some of these conversations. And I think it's really important, again, to put some of our tangible resources in the form of money into those organizations and institutions that sustain us and support us. I also wanted to say, especially the younger activists, like, don't despair. You know, it's frustrating. That's the nature of it all. But be like that fire that just won't get put out. And do the things you need to do to nurture yourself. You know, for me, that's part of the reason I teach permaculture. I practice it. Get out there. Get your hands in the dirt. Build something. Create something. It's the antidote to the frustration of trying to influence these things that are actually not under our immediate control. And, you know, like I said, I can't tell you how good it feels to be in our community working together on a Saturday morning to make our land safer and just to get out there and do it. You know, if there's, you know, so much of the powerful direct action I've done has been with people who just get out there and do it. And that's what sustains us. That's what keeps us alive. That's what helps us, again, feel good about the people we're working with and the things that we're doing. And we need that. We deserve that. That's what sustains that fire.
No, that's great. And again, so much of your dedication, right, is to civic engagement. I like the commentary mm-hmm. of Bo on YouTube, and he said, let me talk to all of you, January 6th, crazy people. He said, you know, if you'd spent time actually just engaging in your community, you know, a lot of what you're complaining about would be handled as opposed to going to crackpot mm-hmm. rallies. And yeah, the civic engagement going, right, what can we do together? What can we do together? Mm-hmm. How do we gather, you know, on stage and backstage in this powerful, you know, collective envisioning very much. And, you know, and it is just to bring in the astro mytho encouragement, right? Mm-hmm. Saturn square Uranus, you know, the capacity to redesign human culture, how it, you know, humbly cooperates with nature's guiding genius, which is you, Starhawk, so much of it. And that's the way to go, you know, and we also reciprocal blessing, you know, may your dedication and your work spiral forth into ever greater effective influence. It's, cause you're doing that. I can see it. I can feel it. And I just want to also say that, you know, right now the moon in Gemini to give voice to what we love, the power of radio, the moon is conjoined Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, to what Starhawk does, what this radio show does, what KPFA does as well, to be a voice for Gaia, a voice for sane reverence and cooperating with the earth. And the moon does quintile Neptune, meaning irresistible eloquence and the capacity to open portals between worlds of the imaginary, you know, by giving it voice, It's like cooperators are standing by, you know, eager mm-hmm. to cahoot. And let me just thank some of our donors. Thank goodness. We always love Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. You're adorable. And Caitlin in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I love KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show. So grateful. We love you too. Anonymous in Santa Fe. That's fantastic. Gave a monthly donation of $10, which you can do. And Art in Healdsburg said, I'm still broke, but I'm still pledging for fun and the golden rule aspect of it. That's the way to go, lad. Thank you so much. So you can join everyone and further support, you know, Starhawk coming back on the show, right, and spiraling forth more of her dedication and exhortation and powerful events and classes. It's so great, this Zocalo, this square. So there.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, and you're also always an inspiration to me. I just think about some of the really dreary times, like after Bush's election, whenever hearing you speak and kind of going, okay, there is hope.
No, but Bush's election in the second time was even harder, but that's where my friend David Grimes spoke the immortal words as I was lying on the floor, and he goes, no, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. I'm like, oh, I needed that. Mm-hmm. I needed that. And what you're saying, and I think what we share, is that, you know, I did get off the floor going, nope, mm-hmm. KPFA, Visionary Activist Show, the community needs us to get off the floor to rouse ourselves, you know, to mm-hmm. out of the... and that is an anti... Well, here we go, citizenship. Mm-hmm. You know, the antidote to our own depression is engagement with others, you know, and as Isaiah says, speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. And we go, right, it's to pluck ourselves up by plucking other people up in reciprocal blessing and reporting on the good news and the trickster prevailing against all odds kind of quality of now going, right, Right. Here we go. So that's great. So I will reluctantly release you and go into what will I do? Aha! I will welcome Chris and reluctantly release
and
you.
And I will say hello to Star.
Yeah,
hi, Star.
Ahead,
Hi.
Hey, girl. It's so wonderful to hear the two of you. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
That's great. Well, thank you always, Starhawk. And Starhawk's event is tomorrow, and people can find about it by going to starhawk.org. What's the simple way they can find out about your event?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Starhawk.org for her solstice. Yeah, her solstice event tomorrow, and her many, many worthy, fantastic classes. Thank you, Star. Okay,
thank you.
More later. All right, so
love
here we
you.
Go.
Bye.
All right, Chris, we're going to... that's exciting, and her car didn't even need towing. And we have another anonymous in Sausalito. Bless your heart. Thank you. So here we are. We've got 8 minutes. Chris, wonderful.
Oh, boy. Person.
Oh, boy. All right.
And you know what? We have... $70,000, according to this little stat here, to go to reach our goal by the end of tomorrow. And it looked like we were going to be much farther away. So we're in better shape than I thought we were going to be. But we need to get to that $300,000. So
yes,
between
this hour,
now and tomorrow night.
I have
two grandchildren in the background, just in case you're wondering what that noise is.
That's great. No, we're doing it for the grandkids. We're doing it for the grandkids,
yes.
Right? Grandkids and elders and medium people and people born in the 60s and people who just dimly remember it and people born in the 80s. That 1980 people, 1990s generation is reporting in for duty like crazy. Power, pragmatic mystics. So we are, yes, exhorting anonymous and otherwise from all over. We love Santa Fe and Cambridge, Massachusetts and everywhere. This show does spiral forth, and we do. It is a waxing moon. It is a waxing full moon. So it's more of everything. So so what you pledge now is worth more. Right, there we go. And we have thank you gifts and enticements and all. And KPFA is very generous. Storytelling for social change. For any donation. Come on, team. 1-800-439-5732, which includes Bell Hooks, who just died. Right? Powerful feminist thinker,
yes.
The lecture on love, and Nikki Giovanni as well, who's still breathing, thank goodness.
Right, amen.
And Mitch Jezerich, who's such a great teammate, indefatigable. So any donation gets you Storytelling for Social Change, 1-800-439-5732. And then for a pledge of $25 or more, you can attend my winter solstice event on Zoom or phone. That's Tuesday, December 21st at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. East Coast time. And that's Celtic Santeria Bodhisattva Coyote. That's me giving voice to Bodhisattva Coyote and a great colleague, Sean Patrick O'Donohue for Celtic Cool. Oh, it's really great. And Amakayla Gaston for Santeria Invoking Wolf, honoring the dead of this year, as well as Rousing Out of the Cauldron. So that's for a pledge of $25. Or more. It is recorded, right? So you can have access to that if you can't make the 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Rousing group effort. It will resonate. So for $25, you can attend that. And here's Jen and... Oh, wait, let me give the phone number. By calling 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. And that's wonderful. And Jen in Burlingame pledges for the winter solstice. Yes. Oh, how wonderful. It has been many years since our musical paths crossed. I'm happy to hear you are still with us and doing your thing. Thank you, Caroline and Starhawk, for all you do. Excellent. Thank you. Reciprocal blessings spiraling forth. And that's why we gather to pluck each other up, going, it is dangerous. But that's why, the trickster dynamic within all of us likes against all odds. So now is perfect. We do want 13 people on the Supreme Court, sane, reverent people. We do want the Dementors to be composted in the cauldron. We do want voting rights. And as Elizabeth Warren says, who is really stalwart voting rights person, defeat the Dementors and also dark money. Yeah, dark money into the cauldron and ladle out, ethical finances, which you can do by pledging some the opposite of dark money, or dark in a good way money, to KPFA, 1-800-439-5732.
And online, of course, at kpfa.org, where you can also peruse all of the thank you gifts that we have there. And I'm very happy that there's a winter solstice element here, which, of course, you can count on when you've got Caroline in charge, and much less when she added the solar astrological weight of Starhawk, the two of them together. What a gift this afternoon. Just amazing. So, once again, she says, for the $25 or more to KPFA, when you call 1-800-439-5732 or online at kpfa.org. And anything you donate whatsoever will give you the, what do you call it, Storytellers for Social Change.
That's
and
we
we're very sad that Bell Hooks has left us at far too young an age, at 69, but that we have some sound from her, which we are including in our Storytelling for Social Change holiday edition. Nikki Giovanni and Chris Hedges and Mitch Jezerich and Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz and Bell Hooks. That's no matter what you pledge right now. 1-800-439-5732. Let's make Carolyn's hour here really shine, really sparkle. So far, I see there's six people that have donated this hour, and
we need more.
We're about to be out of time. 1-800-439-5732. Show some solstice light and love for Ms. Casey.
Yes,
ooh,
this is the last. This is the last winter solstice fun drive for the Visionary Activist Show. So it would be good. Here's somebody in Los Angeles. Bless their heart. It's another anonymous person pledging for the Winter Solstice Astro Mytho Zoom. It's going to be a fantastic gathering. Really, come cahoot with us on Tuesday, December 21st at 5 p.m. And anonymous in Los Angeles says, love to Caroline and Starhawk. Right, reciprocal blessing. It's no time to be alone. And radio, so many calls I get, people say, oh, I don't feel so alone when I listen to your show. I'm a sane person on an army reservation or whatever the thing is. And we're extending kinship. So, yes, absolutely encouraging all to pledge for fun right now in our final minute. Here we go, our final minute. 1-800-439-5732. Or pledging online, kpfa.org. That would be great. But it would be really wonderful if we had a surprising, remember, there's no prison for the unexpected, some surprising donation. $25 is the encouraged, but more is possible. $75 for the storytelling collection from the Visionary Activist Show is encouraged, but more is okay. And any donation gets you the KPFA Storytelling for Social Change, including the video of Bell Hooks. Again, honoring all the ancestors. So many have been going backstage lately, and we cannot live through the dead, but we can invite the dead to live through us. Maxine in Las Vegas, Nevada. I love Caroline Casey. I love you too. All right, we're going to have a great cahoot. Thank you, Chris. You always make it more fun.
Many, many blessings, my dear. I'm so happy that you're alive and well and doing what you do. Amen.
That's great. And thanks always to Kirsten Thomas, indefatigable, fantastic ally, board up. All right, it's Caroline Casey. We'll reconvene next week. Thank you, team.